I'm Jenny Burkheiser. This week on Family Radio Network's Community Bridge, we're pleased to welcome our guest, Dr. David Stevens, Chief Executive Officer Emeritus of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations, here to talk with us about the coronavirus.
We are told to have compassion and love for people that are suffering, even to put our own lives at risk and to take care of them. And I was in contact with a Christian physician in China that's dealing with this and is putting his life at risk. And I'm sure other medical personnel there as well.
Wow.
And the first doctor that reported this died of the disease. And he died of it because he took care of people that had it. So, you know, that is an opportunity for us to show the love of Christ and compassion.
Welcome to Family Radio, Dr. Stevens.
That's good to be with you, Jenny.
Dr. Stevens, news reports during this last month have alerted us in the U.S. about a respiratory illness caused by the novel coronavirus. Share with us, what is this virus, the coronavirus?
Well, the coronavirus has actually been around for a long time, and most of the illnesses caught from coronaviruses are mild, but unfortunately, we've had episodes where the unusual coronavirus types have broken through and caused more serious infections. And this example, what they're now calling COVID-19, is one of those that is causing some significant problems.
How large of a problem has this become?
Right now, there's around 72,000 documented cases in China, and there's probably many more of people that didn't have very severe disease. When you look at the severe cases, it's over 10,000. Those would be people that require hospitalization, and there have been around 1,700, close to 1,800 deaths so far from this disease. So when this was recognized to be spreading and to be highly contagious, that's when the concern went up, because this death rate is significantly higher than what we see with the flu.
You said that the virus is not necessarily new. You know, if this virus has been around for quite a while, how did it just come back?
Yeah. Well, the coronavirus has been around for a while, but this is a different type of coronavirus. And so this is not the first time we've had experience with this breaking out from animals into humans. And that's the problem, because a virus that comes across from animals to humans, there's no immunity to. Our bodies haven't seen it, so we haven't developed any immunity. Some people remember back in 2002, we had the severe acute respiratory virus syndrome, which was called SARS. And it was another coronavirus, and it came out of China as well. More than 8,000 people got it, and there were 774 deaths, which is about a 10% mortality rate, very, very high compared to other coronaviruses. And then a few years later, we had the MERS virus back in 2012. That was actually from the Middle East, and it was a coronavirus as well. And it had about a 30% mortality rate, which was much higher than what we're seeing coming out of China. But the difference is, with this virus, the novel coronavirus, as this one's called, it is spreading much more rapidly. The mortality rate's much lower, around 2.3%. And so there's concern about that. And of course, with air travel, these viruses can spread very rapidly. And there was concern with the number of people who were catching this, and the mortality rate being about 2.3%, about 2 people out of 100 actually die from this disease when they get it.
But what has the U.S. government done to try to stop its spread?
Well, they've done an excellent job, and I'm not the only one that thinks that, public health officials across the country. When they realized how serious this could be, they did steps we don't normally see, decrease its spread. One is they put people in confinement, I guess is the right word. So if they had been to the Wuhan province, where this is so common, they isolated them, and there's a number of sites, mainly military bases in the U.S., where this can be done. They did mandatory screening at a number of airports where flights were coming in from China, most of those on the West Coast, but also other places in the country. So people got enhanced health screening to see if they had fevers or other symptoms of viral infection, so they could be isolated as well. And because of that, despite, you know, the thousands upon thousands of people that have it in China, we now had 13 confirmed cases here in the U.S. So these efforts have really helped this not to spread into the U.S. There's also looking for sentinel cases. The CDC and major cities are watching people that come in with flu symptoms and testing some of them to make sure this hasn't escaped into the general public. So lots of efforts which have made a huge difference. And to put it in perspective, you know, we talk about the flu and getting the flu vaccine. Well, many more people die of the flu each year than have died of coronavirus worldwide. We have over 20,000 people in the United States that die of the flu each year. And the number of people that actually get the flu is up in the hundreds of thousands, actually the millions each year that get the flu. So the flu death rate is about 0.1%. So 1 out of 1,000 people that get the flu will die from it in the U.S. Whereas with this illness, the novel coronavirus, it's 2 out of 100. So it's more dangerous, but the prevalence of it is much less.
That really helps to put it into perspective. We've been seeing a lot about this in the news, and I've just amongst my friends and family and neighbors, have had discussions about concerns about traveling, whether folks should go on a trip or not. But really, you know, how does this spread? I mean, it's a respiratory illness. Do we know this?
Yeah, we do. And it's spread through droplets from sneezing or whatever. But the most common way people get it is not from someone coughing on them. It's from contact on surfaces with people that have this virus or touching. We know this from flu virus as well. Everybody, you know, cover your mouth and don't get around people that are sick and those type of things, which are good precautions if you have a cold or if you're around someone that does. But most often way it is passed is viruses are on surfaces and they can stay on there and still be alive for a good bit of time. So washing your hands frequently is very important. Taking an alcohol base when I travel overseas, even in the U.S., I carry a little bottle of alcohol-based disinfectant to wash my hands with that you can buy at any store, and that is helpful in protecting. Do you need to wear a mask in the United States? Absolutely not. In fact, there's a shortage of masks
Right.
because people are wearing them. You'd have trouble finding one, but you don't need it. But as far as U.S. travel and travel into Europe, the chances of getting it are almost nil at this point. Now, if that changes, you know, the recommendations would change. But right now, there's no reason to be afraid of this virus. It's not in the community. You should fear more getting into your car or fear that you didn't get the flu vaccine and you can get the flu because your chance of dying of the flu is much higher than it is of you getting coronavirus.
Wow, well, that really does put it into perspective. Dr. Stevens, it is currently the flu and respiratory disease season here in the United States. You know, talk about that difference between the coronavirus and perhaps someone who has the flu or some kind of respiratory illness that's typically found this time of year so we can be on the lookout.
Yeah. The symptoms initially would be very much the same: fever, muscle pains, cough, dry cough. But would you be should be concerned with either of these diseases if you start getting other symptoms, for example, wheezing, breathing difficulties, respiratory rate going up. Those are all signs of concern whether you have the flu or coronavirus. You need to seek medical attention right away. If you know you've been in contact with somebody who's recently been in China, of course, that would raise your antenna much more that this was an issue. The
Sure.
likelihood of that is almost nil. But yeah, you just watch out. And if you start having severe symptoms, they just got some new data out of China today, and 80% of people in China that have this just have a mild illness, like a cold or flu, about 14% of the time, and that would be about 6 or 7 out of 100. They go on and have pneumonia and shortness of breath, and then those about 5% out of those percentages end up with severe problems: respiratory failure, septic shock, multi-organ failure, and then, as we said, the mortality rate's about 2.3%. So the vast majority of people wouldn't even know they had coronavirus unless they had been tested, because it would seem like just a cold or flu.
So if we are exhibiting some flu-like symptoms, maybe getting a little more severe, like you mentioned, the wheezing or breathing difficulties, what should we do?
Those symptoms that you mentioned can be life-threatening, and you're likely going to need to be admitted or and treated, or perhaps put on some retroviral viral medication to help with this. So if you have respiratory symptoms, shortness of breath, wheezing, respiratory rates going up, that's when you need to seek attention.
Oh, absolutely. We're speaking today on Community Bridge with Dr. David Stevens. He's Chief Executive Officer Emeritus with Christian Medical and Dental Associations. And we're speaking about the novel coronavirus, the risk, preventative steps, and the hope that is out there for those who are contracting the disease, as well as keeping the great physician in mind. Stay with us. We'll talk more about the Christ-based perspective on diseases such as this and others in just a moment. Stay with us. Today on Community Bridge, our guest is Dr. David Stevens, Chief Executive Officer Emeritus with Christian Medical and Dental Associations. William Osler once said, "The good physician treats the disease. The great physician treats the patient who has the disease." Dr. Stevens, I loved how earlier you were speaking about really the risk of getting in your car or just getting the flu that is not novel is a greater risk to us than getting this novel coronavirus. Talk about that hope that we have, you know, the big picture where the Lord gets involved. Our times are in His hands.
That's true, and the Bible tells us very clearly to fear not.
Right.
And, you know, I'm with you. And to keep a sound mind, you know, there's a lot of panic. This stuff gets in the news. People get concerned. They talk to other people, you know. And I think this is a great opportunity for us as Christians to have a witness because the question comes, how can you be so calm when I'm so concerned about this? And God is in control, and God doesn't allow anything to happen without His permission in our lives. And then secondly, we are told to have compassion and love for people that are suffering, even to put our own lives at risk and to take care of them. And I was in contact with a Christian physician in China that's dealing with this and is putting his life at risk. And I'm sure other medical personnel there as well.
Wow.
And the first doctor that reported this died of the disease. And he died of it because he took care of people that had it. So, you know, that is an opportunity for us to show the love of Christ and compassion. You remember all the instances in the Bible where Christ touched the leper. That was the plague of that time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people fled when they saw these people. They isolated them. They didn't love them. They hated them. They threw stones at them to keep them away. And Christ went and touched and took care of the leper. And this type of situation is one when our light can shine before people and point people to Christ.
Absolutely. Now, here at Family Radio, we want to shine God's light and give people hope and encouragement. Dr. Stevens, you've been a missionary doctor. I understand you led an emergency medical team that treated thousands of individuals suffering in the midst of war and to stop the spread of another type of epidemic that took place. If you would share with our listeners how in the past you have been able to participate with Jesus and bring His healing touch to others.
Yeah, I was the medical director for Samaritan's Purse and led their started their emergency medical relief teams. And we've been working in Somalia, of course, a war zone and a very dangerous place, got shot at and all sorts of things there. But we got word that there was people were dying in Sudan of an unknown disease that was killing a lot of people. And we took a team in, actually had to fly in the back of a C-130 with a boat and tents and go up a river, hippo and crocodile infested, with myself, another doctor, and a couple nurses with tents to live in, and landed to this village called Ulang of about 2,500 people. And there were 500 fresh graves out back.
Incredible.
People who died of relapsing fever the month before, carried by lice, and has a fever that keeps coming back. Mortality rate about 10%, five times as much as what we're talking about with coronavirus. But they were also in the midst of a famine, so the death rate was 40% in that area. And we lived there and took care of people. You could cure this with just a couple of tetracycline tablets, which you take give to your teenager for acne. You could cure this disease and all these fresh graves behind the village. But as we treated people, they just got it again. It was passed by lice. So we ended up dusting with an insecticide that didn't hurt people but killed lice, 24,000 people. And dusted them and their homes and wiped out the epidemic.
Praise God.
But I'll never forget. I went, there were Christians there in the village, and we arrived on a Saturday, Sunday, and we went to church, and there were hundreds and hundreds of people sitting in the sun as the pastor spoke. And afterwards, I met with them, and I said, how can we help you? We've come to try to wipe out this illness. But what else can we do to help the church? We're Christians as you are, and we want, we're your brothers and sisters. And he looked at me and he said, could you get us some Bibles? I said, okay, yeah. How many Bibles do you have? We have seven.
Amazing.
He said, we have 70 evangelists that go out every week to preach, and it's hard for them to prepare their sermons without Bibles. I said, well, we'll get you some Bibles. I said, what else can we get? He said, can you get some cloth? I thought, wonder what he wants that for. And I asked him, and he said, well, it's so embarrassing for our wives to have to come to clinic topless because they don't have any clothes to wear. And I thought to myself, would I have asked for Bibles first? Didn't have something to wear to church. That's a whole different thing about it. I don't have anything to wear to church.
Oh, yes.
And the faith of these people in the midst of this epidemic and their priority on sharing the gospel and winning people to Christ, as well as us helping them to wipe this out, which just humbled me and taught me a lesson I've never forgotten.
Well, just the power and the great privilege we have to have Bibles, to have the Word of God, that just highlights what a gift the Word of God is. And if we were not to have it, just what an incredible loss. That's such a source of life. That's definitely demonstrated by the fellow believers in that situation you shared. When we think about the diseases and epidemics of today, you know, lots of times it reminds me of the plagues and diseases from Bible times. Do you think there's any kind of correlation? What's going on here? SARS, MERS?
Yeah. we don't know what God's doing, that's for sure. We know that he uses situations like these to bring people to Christ. He uses them in our own lives. The suffering and tragedy and illnesses that we deal with, God can use that for his glory, for us to be a witness, and also as a means to draw us closer to him. And that's important. Things happen that God permits, but he doesn't cause, and some of those are plagues from locusts. There's a huge locust plague in East Africa right now, and wiping out more in one day than all the food that some countries have to eat in a year. And so that's a plague of biblical proportions.
Yes.
That's going through Somalia and Kenya and that type of thing, and other illnesses. We talked about Ebola and other things that happen. So God uses these things, but the main thing is, what's he trying to teach us through this? What's he trying to teach me? God uses those things to help us become more like him as we listen to his voice and we read his word and we become compassionate and care for others.
Well, Dr. Stevens, you wrote a book called Jesus MD, and in it you share insights you gained into the character, power, and purposes of our great physician, Jesus. You know, as you're speaking about how these tragedies can cause a lot of suffering, yet they are opportunities for us to show the love of Christ, to grow in our spiritual walk with him. Speak to that person listening today who maybe is going through a life-threatening illness, or they have a loved one who looks like they're not going to make it. What words of encouragement would you give that listener?
Remember, Christ is there. You know, I've been through these just like everyone else. When we were missionaries in Kenya, my parents came to visit us, and my dad got home and got malaria and died from it, from a visit where we went to the beach for a week.
I'm so sorry.
In Kenya. So I understand these issues, and God used that experience in my own life to make me a better doctor, to grow me in my faith, draw me close to him, He can use that in each of our lives in that way and enable us to minister to others. I remember when I went back after my dad's funeral, and I had ministry like I'd never had before, because almost everybody at that hospital had a family member die of malaria that they knew. And all of a sudden, Dr. Stevens had experienced the same thing, and we had a commonality that opened the door for me to share the gospel with patients in new ways, both at the hospital and in the community with people there. So God doesn't waste suffering. He uses it to grow us, and he uses us to reach others that are suffering. And I want to encourage others that God said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. And in the midst of suffering, he's there, and we can hang on to that. And we also have an opportunity to be his hands, his voice to people in need as they suffer. What a wonderful opportunity that is.
Yes, and even in this current situation with coronavirus, it still is an opportunity for us to share that hope we have with our friends and neighbors to respond differently to the panic that's out there.
Yeah. Why aren't you afraid? Well, because I trust in Christ, and he's here with me, and he helps me deal with difficult things. Let me tell you how he did that when, and there you have an opportunity to tell a faith story, raise a faith flag, perhaps share your testimony, perhaps pray with someone. That's something you should do when people are afraid. Let me pray with you, and let's take this to the Lord and lay it at his feet. So the opportunities are there in the midst of these situations to be a witness, and sometimes to people we haven't had that opportunity to do that with before.
We're speaking today with Dr. David Stevens, Chief Executive Officer Emeritus with Christian Medical and Dental Associations. What website or source of information would you recommend that our listeners go to learn more about the latest with the novel coronavirus, how they can be informed on the status, maybe help others affected, or, you know, just dealing with this, the fear, the panic?
Yeah. For science part of it, I encourage cdc.org. That stands for Center for Disease Control, cdc.org, which has briefings every day that come out and update you on this issue and what to do about it. We've got a lot of resources on the Christian Medical and Dental Association website, cmda.org, on dealing with bereavement, helping others, on fear, just lots of great resources in our online bookstore, as well as information on a wide range of issues. Plus, you can find a Christian doctor if you don't have one. You can put in your zip code, what kind of specialist you're looking for. That's becoming more and more important in this day and time with all the bioethical and other issues that we're dealing with.
Absolutely. How would you advise we pray for those who are in the middle of this outbreak? How can we storm the heavens on their behalf?
I think we need to pray for those who are providing care for protection for people that don't have it. Pray that God will use this in China to bring people to himself. There's a huge underground church there, and they're being affected as well, but also having an opportunity to share the gospel. And just pray that God will bring a tidal wave of people coming to Christ across China because of this epidemic, and can use it for his glory as well as provide comfort to those that are suffering.
Thank you so much, Dr. Stevens, for sharing with us today on Community Bridge. God bless you.
God bless you as well, Jenny.
I'm Jenny Burkheiser, and speaking with us today on Community Bridge has been Dr. David Stevens, Chief Executive Officer Emeritus of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. Stay with us to learn more about what's going on in your local community. I'm Jenny Burkheiser on Community Bridge and Family Radio. Hear the word.
You are listening to Community Bridge. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of Family Radio, its staff, or management. As Ephesians 2, verse 10 tells us, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Join us as we explore opportunities to do good in our communities. If you are aware of a need, interest, or concern in your area, please call us toll-free at 1-800-543-1495. Family Radio, proclaiming the comfort, hope, and joy found only in Jesus. Support the ministry at familyradio.org so others can hear the word.